It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, probably right. So
then they're playing tonight.
Yeah. Probably got one tonight.
Probably got one tonight. That's how it's been. And so I'm just guessing. Right now I'm going on if it's but sometimes there's back-to-backs. Which
I think the other reason I feel slightly better is I think this version of Ja, while not a perfect basketball player, this version of Ja is really good. This is the version where, like, we haven't even seen the Ja's just going to go get him 40 or go, you know, 50 point night. He has just been in complete command. And when you get this Ja, I think the team plays at its best.
Well, and also, like, you can't forget about Edie, right? Like, going into the season, like, he's not like the X factor, but like,
if Zach. Now, granted, I do think the Nets is a good recipe for your bigs to have a good night. Like, if you think about Jaren last week.
A great night. Yeah.
Jaren had the 30 points in 28 minutes. Yes, 30 points in 28 minutes against the Nets. Zach, of course, has his big night. But if you could start stacking, like, I do think it's big for him to every single game feel like he's getting better and progressing. Like, I think that will help him. And you're right. It's not as if he's the difference maker. But if Zach is going to be good, it does allow the Grizzlies to probably have a slightly higher ceiling.
Right. From what I saw, he was on the whatever, to whatever means to anybody, the key rookie rankings at NBA.com.
Glad you got the sponsor in.
Yeah. He's like number one. He's number one on
the
rankings.
Company, man.
Right. The key rookie of the year, Chase. I love it, but this is the key of rookie of the year chase. It's a, you know, he's got it right now, but yeah, as we know, it could be easily stolen from him.
I like how Kia decided this isn't the Hyundai though. You know, we're going Kia, not Genesis either. We'll save that for the luxury brand. I mean, we'll put our good old fashioned middle of the road. We're gonna put Kia on that. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about the college football playoff rankings. We'll talk about that and have CJ Hurt join us later on during hour number two. You're listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Coming up in about 20 minutes, CJ Hurt's going to join the program. Looking forward to our conversation with him. We'll talk Grizz, Lakers, and more when CJ joins us. But before we do that, let's get into the list. The college football playoff. All right, Kevin, we had our debut.
They made a list.
Of the 2024 playoff rankings. So yesterday afternoon, Tim and I were discussing, like, how's this going to go? Because normally what it used to be was, here's the top 25, and then when you got to the final six, they'd break it down in order. But, you know, it did not, there were not rules for number two could be seated number six. Like, it was just the rankings. And right. So it was clean. So we were wondering what would it actually look like? And so the way that it basically worked, if I recall from memory, they did 25 through 15 in the listing order that they normally used to do. Then they did 14 and 13, and Kev, they sold them as first one out and next one out. So with the NCAA tournament lexicon.
Right, exactly.
First four right. out, next right. four out, whatnot. So they did that, and then we got the top 12, and they would reveal the top 12, but then they would say, but based on, so it mainly mattered with Boise State. Now, Boise was 12, so they just went straight to the spot. But it came into play with Ohio State being the number two ranked team, but because they head-to-head, they've lost to Oregon, and they are having to operate based on who is leading the conference, giving them the automatic bid. So therefore, Oregon gets the automatic top four seed from the Big Ten. That bounced Ohio State down to the five seed. And so that affected with the rankings. So they basically would reveal, here's the order, and then they showed where they would go on the bracket. I guess this is where I'll ask you. How locked into this were you? Because there were a few other things going on. I know you were locked into Maction. We had two games. Of course, at that point, I think we only had one. But I know we had Maction going on. How much... And I'm not even saying like, oh, you had to be locked into the whole broadcast. Like, were you even checking Twitter? Like, I'm curious to know like how locked in was the average sports fan?
Yeah, for me, I was not. And you know, I'm very, very enthusiastic about the 12-team playoff. I'm excited about this idea.
You're a proponent.
But, oh, 100%.
Maybe an advocate.
Yeah, I would say I'm an advocate. Mm-hmm. I'd advocate for it. But I was not. It's been a busy week. From Halloween to the election and everything in between, that we've got, and also just following your own teams, right? You got the Grizzlies sure. playing, and you got the Tiger football team, and you got Tiger basketball starting on Monday night, right?
Yep.
There was a lot going on, and the fact that it's not final, right?
Yes.
I want to see these things when they're final, like the NCAA tournament brackets not being released or rankings
100%
released weeks before, and to me, it takes away a little bit of the Selection Sunday. Element if they did do that.
Started doing like the top 16.
Right. I know like, they've seen.
But I'm with you. There's something still special about the, all right, get your pen and paper out, fresh bracket time.
Exactly. No, I love Selection Sunday is one of the, like, underrated in the way that people always hype up Thursday, Friday of the NCAA tournament. Selection Sunday is a lot of fun.
Yes.
For so many reasons, right? Yeah, getting that fresh bracket.
Fresh bracket, the endless possibilities, thinking about, all right, how many bracket pools am I entering? How much can I win? Like, doing all of that.
The hope is so high on that Selection Sunday. But
I had a buddy, see if you buy this take. Now, it ended up not really applying last night, but I thought this was actually a very good, my fraternal little brother had this take. Election night used to be a lot more fun. Forget the whole... which side you're rooting for, if you care, whatnot. But watching the election return used to be a more fun experience. And his take was, it's a lot like they took the Super Bowl and turned it into the NFL draft now, where we've moved the first round to Thursday. We have Friday, Saturday. Whereas we used to have it all on, like the NFL draft used to all be that Saturday lock-in, start at like 11 or 10, something more time. You watch the draft the whole day with your boys, and it was a much more fun thing. But now they've started dragging it out. It's become a much more painful watch. And last night it ended up not, but it's like, I realized
it's still, it could end in prime time. Let's get this thing over with.
Well, like I realized it when, so right when I turned the college football selection show, like I had the news mix on, and so I'm like listening around, and as you're listening to whichever network, because I was going through all four, it was Fox, CNN, MSNBC, and weirdly on the YouTube mix, they put in the BBC. The BBC's coverage of the election. But that was kind of I thought that would be more interesting. It's like, oh, let's get their perspective.
I want their perspective on the college football
playoffs.
But
it was a lot of just American people, like, just working for the BBC. So I was like, all right, this isn't as fun as I hoped. But they're like, the first hour and a half, they like, you could just tell, like, oh, they are just filling time. Like, they don't have any information that you couldn't just have, like, if you had a computer. So then I flipped over to the college football playoff one and restarted with this whole, like, election. What's the literary device where it's not a metaphor, but, like, It was like
simile.
It was like script. He was scripting the college football playoff as.
Oh, okay, yeah.
What is that? It's like as he was doing it as if, because it's like it's not parody or satire, because it was like he was like basically paying homage to election coverage and trying to work in the college football storylines, narratives, whatnot. As if it were being an election return.
Now, if they wanted us, why did they do it last night? If they wanted us to care about it, I mean, there's a lot of reasons. Like, why did stuff happen yesterday? There's always the debate of why did the elections happen on a Tuesday anyway? We'll talk about the debate that for another time. Like, shouldn't these be on a Saturday? Or should everybody be off work yesterday? But like, why are you trying to compete with the election coverage? Not trying to compete with it, but this is something you can roll out at any point. It's not, you just need television content. For last night is what they needed while everybody else was doing something. Why are we announcing the?
Honestly, my first thought was it's always the first Tuesday in November and they just scheduled it and no one really like raised his hand.
Something, because that's something else also.
I guess there's also
that particular day every.
Well, there's also, but it happens in that window from 6 till 7 Central. So that's.
It's the pregame. You could really, there's nothing happened. The polls are just now closing, not many results, no surprises.
Correct. And so I think it's kind of viewed as, it's not like.
But, I mean, the states that are being announced are often the states that are also being announced on both programs,
true.
Right?
I mean, it's a lot.
Georgia, Alabama. Georgia took late, but like you have Alabama and Texas. And
I think now there's also the concept of, well, everybody's. It's not like you can only watch one thing at a time.
But it is
anymore.
Harder to do that, right? It's harder to flip back and forth. I was watching election coverage. I probably would have in the old days, because you know, so I don't necessarily. I think cutting the cord is probably an outdated way of describing watching television.
Yeah,
we still have the cord for the internet coming in the house.
I think it's not
like
even
I'm
cutting
jumping
cord,
between
I think it's,
apps.
I think it's you're a streamer or you're linear.
Yeah, and so I'm jumping, but trying to jump between different apps. And it's like, why does Roku not have a better way to do that? But so I would have, in the old days, I would have probably flipped to that because nothing else was happening. Let's check this out for a moment. But it was like, I can only move my hands around and figure out the different things and an iPad going and all that. But if we look at did anything surprise you by what we saw yesterday? Because here's the thing about we're not talking about the election. That's it. We're done. No more conversation about that. But the reveal, because many of probably people missed this because they were focused on the election or focused on, you know, really, you were either focused on the election last night or you were getting off the grid in a lot of ways, right?
Getting off the grid. And it's also not like, to your point, using your Selection Sunday analogy, Selection Sunday's a thing. You know, like it's a date that we know.
This will be a thing when it happens, but it's not going to be a special if you're going to do like these spoilers.
Well, and I do think there's the element of it is clearly made for TV.
Right.
This isn't the final ranking. This isn't like, I do think the fact that people started catching on that a lot of this early doesn't matter. It doesn't matter till the last one comes out. I think there's a devaluing of its importance. Although I still like the first one, and not because, it's the first time to look at it. I like the first one because they'll kind of tip their hand on how they think about things. And
yeah, for sure.
And I think that's
the insight that you get.
Correct. And so it doesn't.
But could the television product be better? Should they do it like the draft lottery and like slowly pull off different, just hold up the envelopes
and
with the logos?
So
is that what they did?
They do it in the sense of. Blank screen. I don't think it's true, but they always say it. We're just looking at them as you are. Now, do I think they had them yesterday at noon? No.
They had it before the show.
Because somebody had to get the graphic ready.
Somebody saw it.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Somebody's had that thing.
That's why I want the sealed envelopes. Nobody has seen it. Except one person, and they've got to talk about the...
I think you could talk me into that. Well, is it certified by Ernst & Young?
Yeah, it's got to be certified.
Okay, obviously certified by Ernst. You could talk me into that for the final one.
All right.
Make the final one special.
Yeah. I think... Because if you're going to have 12 teams, like, I think you can do it. But...
I don't know if... I think I can...
Because you do it in order.
The problem is they want this to feel like... they have designed it, whether or not it was intentional or not. So if I'm taking the final example, the final standings as an example, they kind of act as if they hand in the final vote from the hotel in Grapevine.
Right.
And like that gets handed off to ESPN. It's like, okay, it's time to go. Like it, they want like it to feel like they just now finished it, fresh off the presses. Here we go. If we have to have Ernst & Young
it's
certify
today,
it,
but
whatnot,
it's on a Tuesday. They could like the games were played days ago.
I think they like giving the impression that like last year,
yeah,
they really struggled over it. Like they stayed up all night after conference championship Saturday, laboring over this decision. When in reality, it's like a decision that can be made in like, I don't know, 10 seconds. So
this year we've got the 12. So we don't, as much as we talk about it.
I don't hate your lottery idea.
We'll see how it goes, because this is the year. We've seen it.
And then you can hand.
When it's been four, it needs to be a production when they actually do it.
You can give the envelopes to the schools. Like, that can become, like, a keepsake, you know, like something you put in a trophy case. Like,
hey, some twist to it. I want it to be, we can bring Jeff Probst out to read it. I don't care. Like, I want it to be, a reality show. Because if you're going to put it on my TV, make it a show.
Point, you can also tell they're in one of those, like, auxiliary studios at ESPN. Like they're not in one of the big boy. They're not in one of the big boy studios. Like they're in a studio that they used to definitely tape a radio show in.
Can you? Are we ever going to get to the day where they read like the AP Top 25 by one on the live?
It's kind of fascinating. I think Benny might have been a little lazy.
So you think so?
I believe the first 17 teams are all like. This 1 through 17 of the AP poll is 1 through 17 in the rankings. The key difference being they put Ohio State ahead of Georgia, and the AP has Georgia ahead of Ohio State. And then, like, when LSU is weirdly ahead of A&M in the AP poll, even though A&M just beat them 2 weeks ago. And so the committee tries to do the thing of if one team beat another, they rank them ahead if they have the same number of losses. So, for example, the AP poll has LSU at 14, A&M at 15, Ole Miss at 16, Iowa State at 17, whereas the college football playoff has A&M ahead of LSU, LSU ahead of Ole Miss because they won head-to-head, and then Iowa State. But they're all like roughly the same teams. So, to me, the big takeaways were, number one,
their one was Oregon. The one loss for Boise State.
I thought it was interesting. The 12 teams that would be in, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Have everybody sitting down for this? Four Big Ten teams, four SEC teams, Notre Dame, an ACC champion, a Big 12 champion, and the G5 champion. I think they tipped their hand, and I've always said this last year, regardless of how you felt about Florida State getting left out, the key thing that was important to me was they established, we view the ACC different. It is not, these two things are not the same. Like they went for Greg Sankey, hook, line, sinker.
And it makes you wonder, how will that impact conference realignment?
And so I do think...
That's the Memphis perspective on that.
I think they told us the Big 12 is getting one team. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at the other team, so let's say if indeed...
I mean, Notre Dame could lose again.
They could, but the problem is Colorado and Kansas State are at 21 and 22 with BYU at 9. They also have BYU undefeated at 9, which I was kind of the opinion, I understand why people were a little upset, but like functionally, it's still the same. They're going to... Whether or not they're ranked second, whether or not they're ranked third or ninth, it's going to be the same thing. They're going to be ranked where they are. I weirdly thought biggest winner was Boise State because, number one, the only other G5 team that was even ranked was Army, and they're ranked at 25. That's not even close. So that was the ultimate, you control your own destiny.
They have it on lock.
Right. And then the other thing is, because the 3 seed is BYU at 9, they are in reach of getting a top 4 seed if BYU were to lose. So, because the other Big 12 champions are at, possibilities are at 21 and 22. And so if BYU loses to one of them, Boise can jump them and get the 3 seed.
Okay, for those who missed this, so the bracket right now stands as Boise State versus Ohio State in the first round. And keep in mind, remember, these first round matchups are going to take place before Christmas. So,
and on campus.
And on campus. So we have Boise State at Ohio State. Then we have Indiana at Tennessee, Alabama at Texas, Notre Dame at Penn State. And Notre Dame Penn State winner will go up against Georgia. Alabama Texas winner will go up against Miami, which has a bye. In Indiana, Tennessee will be an Oregon matchup. Whew, tough bracket spot there for Tennessee. You don't want to be that 8-9. And then Boise, Ohio State winner will go against BYU. And the teams they say are on the bubble. I love this. I mean, this is what they want, mm-hmm. right? The on the bubble SMU.
Yep.
Texas A&M, LSU, and then Ole Miss. Close. Ole Miss can beat Georgia this weekend. We're going to be in the conversation.
So my wife, the Ole Miss fan, was upset, and I told her,
But
the moment they lost to Kentucky, it was a very simple, and then the moment you lose to Kentucky, and then you don't beat LSU, and now you're sitting here where you are, it's very simple. It's you go beat Georgia, and then you're going to be in the top 10, and that's fine. Or you lose to Georgia, and you're not a playoff team. It's very simple for them. And that's kind of the other thing.
And they could be matched. Yeah, who knows what's going to... That's what's exciting about this upcoming weekend, because the Ole Miss Georgia game is this weekend.
And Alabama-LSU.
And Alabama-LSU. And so LSU hanging in with a chance to get in.
Correct.
Ole Miss
LSU,
hanging out
yes.
with a chance to get in.
Yes.
And what does that do? What is it going to shake up? Because, we know these committees love Alabama and Georgia. Alabama... Because Georgia's in the spot they're in because they're the SEC champion, right? Are they theoretical
Correct.
SEC champion?
So that's why they get the 2 seed.
That's why they're in the 2 seed spots. Whoever's the champion of the conference is going to get that bye.
The other thing that I thought was interesting is the Big Ten had 4 teams in the top 8, right? Four teams in the top 8. Then I don't believe they have another team ranked. So it is interesting of if one of those Big Ten teams stumbles, does that knock them out? And then does that open the board?
It should. I think it should. It should knock one of them out.
Because that was the other thing is, I don't think the Big 12 is getting multiple teams in. I wonder what happens if SMU finishes out undefeated and Miami finishes out undefeated and they meet in the ACC championship game, would they both be in?
I would say, I would guess no. And it could come down to who...
But see, then you're at this stupid. Then you're at this stupid point. So you're penalizing SMU for playing in the championship game, which they claim they're not going to do.
Right, but I would see in that scenario. Yeah, I mean, even Miami would have a better shot to get in after losing to SMU, right?
Just yes,
but the
12-1 Miami, and then that would be 12-1, and then both of them go in.
There's a chance it's going to depend on whatever else's record is, right?
For sure.
That's why it's very important. How well are these SEC teams are going to be treated with multiple losses, too? Alabama could lose again this weekend, and then is that they're completely done? We don't know for sure, but they should be.
I think it's likely.
They should be. They're hanging out at 11.
There's always I always leave room for the possibility of chaos and a lot of teams losing. You'll kind of see it. You could see it down the stretch, but I think that's the case. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, CJ Hurt joins the program. Let's get back into Grizzlies Lakers. We'll talk about it next with CJ right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
CJ Hurd is, of course, a Grind City media personality. You can see him every weekday on the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurd. Also, check out the HBCU Huddle, all streaming on YouTube and the Grind City media app. On X, at ConRadicalness, CJ, is the Lakers game the biggest regular season game on the schedule?
What?
So factor out competitive standings. I'm just saying you can go to one game. What game are you going to?
All right. So.
And, like, take your schedule out of it. You know what I mean? Like, it's
yeah, I got
all
you.
Right, you're in a universe where you have a free night and you get to go to any game you want to go to.
Yeah, so we just finished doing Grisby.
All right.
So I'm up here all day. I'm not going to leave and then come back. I'm just going to kick it up here. And they're already outside. Like, I'm watching from my vantage point, 1, 2, 3, 4 Lakers jerseys just bobbing up and down the street right now.
That sounds
about
right.
It's crazy. I think from an environment standpoint right now, because the Grizzlies don't have that big-time rival right now, because rivalries in the NBA, they are not just player-driven, but they're playoff-driven as well, and the Grizzlies weren't in the playoffs
And I kind of think they're temporary.
Yeah, oh, very, very temporary. It comes and goes with the players and the quality of both teams, right?
See the Clippers. Once upon a time, like, that was the most bitter, like, that's the team you hated the most, but, like, no one cares anymore.
Right. So with all that being said, it's either the Lakers or the Warriors, where it's that environment gets pretty intense for just a random regular season basketball game on a random Wednesday or Thursday in November. So it's either Lakers or Warriors. Tonight is a great night to come down to the FedEx Forum. You've seen all of the John Morant reverse 360 layups. The NBA was singing the praises that did on social media. You can see something like that in person, and I don't think people understand how rare it is to get that type of a player on your team, especially when your team is in a small market like Memphis is. Don't take these types of things for granted, man. If you got a chance to go see the Memphis Grizzlies play and John Morant play, you need to get out here to see it, because he's going to give you 3, 4, maybe 5 times a game something that gets you up out of your seat, or at least gets you to go, ooh, ah, at some of the things that he's doing. It's incredible.
Do you think he's playing his best basketball of his career?
Through the first 8 games? Or how many games have they played?
Yeah, 8, and I think he's played 6, is that right?
Yeah. Like, he's playing, he's got a different command and control of the game than he had the last time we saw him play. Absolutely. I think he, not only does he have the command and the control, which is scary because that means the game slows down for him, and if the game slows down for him and he's able to continue to do those things, we're talking about an all-NBA selection, like a first-team all-NBA selection. But it's not just that. I think it's his leadership also on the court. Routinely, you see him coaching up other players, and that's what you want, especially from your point guard. Your point guard should be an extension of the coach on the court, and I think John Morant is that to a T.
He's got to be that tonight.
I mean, it's like as long as they're going to be shorthanded, it's almost like he has to do it every night. But I'm with you right now. It's like, I know he hasn't had the monster point performance, whatever, which I don't care about for my point guard, to be completely honest with you. If he wants to go for 50 tonight, go for 50. But I feel like this is the best version of him. Like, he's going to average damn near 10 assists a game. When he's on the floor, it always just feels like he's in, like, I love the word you use, he's in complete command. But to me, it's also like, this is where he's at his best, because the Grizzlies get so many easy buckets because he's playing He's playing unbelievable point guard right now. Like, would I wish he would be shooting a little bit better? Okay, sure. But I'm not like, I didn't pencil him in for 38% from three. I just feel like this is the type of basketball that maximizes the Grizzlies. And it allows me to believe that when they do get actually at full strength, it's like, he's going to be an absolute machine.
Yeah, and reinforcements are coming. The Luke Kennard news is big, and you know Gigi and Vince are right around the corner on their comeback dates. And then you throw in, you get a little lucky. Keep your fingers crossed to the NBA gods that week to week for Marcus Smart and Desmond Bain. Hopefully, it's like week two, not another week, right?
Yeah.
So they come back sooner rather than later, and then boom, I think you'll see this team really take off when they get those types of shooters, specifically with Gigi, with Bane coming back, with Luke Kennard coming back. Vince Williams Jr. is a pretty good wide-open three-point shooter as well. You get those players back into the rotation, and now you can see what this Grizzlies team can really look like with John Morant at the helm. I will say, does it not feel like John Morant could go for 50 if he wanted
to? Yes, it's almost like
if he had to, he could absolutely go for 50 and win you a game, which is great.
Yeah, and I mean, but I'm like, I don't know, like, I guess I'm fine with him doing this because I just, you know what I mean? Like, it kind of goes to your point about leadership and, you know, making the right play. It's like, I feel like right now, more times than not, he's just making the right play. And now it's not like he's playing boring basketball to your point. We're still getting the only thing that stinks about Monday's highlights is like, okay, it happened in a loss, but at the same time, it's like, man, I don't know if I've ever thought that I could be wowed by a layup, but not only was I wowed by a layup, I was wowed by another layup. And that comes off the layup that he hit at Utah, you know, I don't know, whatever, I guess mini floater. What would you call the more or less the game winner against Utah, where I'm like, whatever that was, like it's not even been dunks. Like, you know what I mean? I feel like so much of it is usually dunks with Ja. Now it's just, it's these unbelievable like layups. And I'm like, good God, this is awesome.
He's making winning plays. And winning plays vary from game to game and vary from circumstance to circumstance. Right now, the winning play is to set other people up. Take your shots when you get them. But, you know, get everybody in the flow of the offense. That's the winning play for right now. There will come a time, and I feel like we'll see it in the regular season a time or two. And, hell, we will definitely see if this team is fortunate enough to get to the postseason, which I expect and others expect. They get to the postseason, the winning play will become, hey, Ja, you just got to go out there and score. And that's the thing when I talk about it feels like he can go from 50 if he wants to, if he has to. He can go out there and do that because he's making winning plays, and there may come a time when the winning play is for him to just say, F it, just give me the ball and get out my way. Let me take this game over from a scoring standpoint. And that's real scary for the rest of the NBA, man. We don't make a lot of dudes who can take over games like that. And if you have one on your team, they can mask and overcome a whole lot of matchup issues and deficiencies you may have on your roster just by them being that good.
Zach Edey had his best game as a pro. I get it. Limited sample size, but 25-12 against the Nets. Do you think that's the start of something, or is it maybe the Nets is probably a good team to play for your bigs?
The Nets are small, and Edey's not. I will say the encouraging thing is that it feels like he's finding his footing as it pertains to his size relative to the other NBA player size. Like, he's looking around like, oh, I am bigger than these dudes. I can't push them around some. I can't get, not necessarily push them around. I can't go up over them, not through them. I have to go over them, and I feel like he's figuring that out some. I look forward to seeing the continued growth of Zach Edey. It'll be a good matchup tonight with this Lakers team, who they're coming in a little hobbled as well. They struggle on the road, and I'm not sure. I hadn't seen any new news on Anthony Davis. I think he's still questionable. So if Anthony Davis is out there playing, it'll be a good chance for Zach Edey to test his mettle against one of the best bigs in the NBA right now.
And as I've said on this show and Jeff's show, AD, you cannot be cautious enough. That's a foot big man. Like, you got to take it easy. Like, don't push it. You know, it's still early in the season. Like, he needs to sit out tonight. Like he really needs to sit out.
But not for the this is a mini All-Star. This think how awesome this is. You get LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Ja.
You can still see him. He's going to physically be here.
All right. I mean, for the fans, you know, for the fans, this is a big deal. This is a big game on the Lakers schedule too. You know, you get to see Ja.
I love my guy Jaren, and I go to war with him. AD's been a bad matchup for Jaren too.
I know. You want him to sit. You want him to sit. I think he probably should.
I need Zach to put together back-to-back good games. Like, I think that is going to help the confidence, CJ. Is that stupid?
I know. Back-to-back big games will help anybody's confidence. what are we talking about here? Absolutely, you would like for somebody to go off not just once, but twice. But on the Anthony Davis thing, I'm with you. I think that, for me, being healthy at the right time is the most important thing. Being the most healthy at the right time is the most important thing in the NBA. And the right time is right around that playoff push time, April.
It's not on
March,
a Wednesday night.
It's not November the 6th.
Not Wednesday in November, dog. Like that's one you can say, all right, we get it. You want to play. Anthony Davis is adamant that he wants to play. But you kind of got to step in and protect players from themselves sometimes and say, hey, we don't want this to be a lingering thing. Let's just take it real slow, and we'll bring you back the second week in November or the third week in November. You'll be fine as long as you're ready to go, because that team is running through Anthony Davis. LeBron James is the one facilitating, but Anthony Davis is the finisher on that team. That's the way J.J. Redick is running this offense right now, where LeBron set people up, but we get late in the shot clock. Anthony Davis has it from here. Like, that's their guy. Not only on the offensive end, but on the defensive end, his ability to protect the rim is still at a really, really high elite level. So you need him to be ready to go come playoff time. Otherwise, I'm not sure how much of a chance you have if you're the Los Angeles Lakers to get to a Western Conference final. So, yeah, I'd sit him and let him rest some.
Hopefully the Lakers are listening.
Yeah, I'm sure JJ, I know he's a big podcast fan, but maybe he's listening to local radio. All right, to wrap up, anything else that you're kind of looking for tonight?
Man, it's just going to be a great time. One of my things, and I know Memphis fans hate it, and I understand you don't like when the arena gets taken over by the opposing team's fan base, but one of the things that I like seeing when I on one of these type games, the Lakers in there, throw the Warriors in there, and those are the only real teams I think this happens with, unless I'm blanking on somebody. Somebody let me know. But one of the things I enjoy seeing is all of the young fans in the arena for the first time. All of the people who are older coming to an NBA game for the first time. Like, this will be somebody's moment when they really fall in love with the game of basketball. They may be in a Lakers jersey, and I'm fine with that. I know it's going to be annoying. We came last year to maybe the second Lakers game, and there was a kid in front of us. We knew the mom, and the mom is decked out in Grizzlies gear. We're decked out in Grizzlies gear, and the kid is wearing that damn purple and gold. We're like, what are you doing? This is Memphis, man. And he's there because he knows LeBron. He doesn't really know much of anything else. And then the Grizzlies put on a spectacular show. And it's like, hey, do you want a Grizzlies jersey now? He's like, yes, give me a Grizzlies jersey. Let's go. And so, like, that's really, really cool and fun to see. That's what I'll be looking forward to seeing in the stand.
CJ, we appreciate it, buddy.
Appreciate y'all. Holla at you.
That is CJ Hurt, Grind City Media. Of course, you can see him every weekday on the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt. Also, the HBCU Huddle each and every week. When we come back, we tell your story next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Kevin, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, I got a former Giants defensive coordinator who's now at Michigan. He's the defensive coordinator for the Wolverines. He was asked if he could see himself coaching in college for the long haul. Quote, I'm glad I'm here. I love the players we have. It's a lot better than being in some places that are 2-7. The Giants are 2-7. He's trying to refer to that. I'm just pointing out the Michigan Wolverines are 5-4, and there's, let's see, do they have?
Does he remember what they did last year?
I got Northwestern. Yeah, they'll still go to a bowl game. But again,
sure, they'll go to a bowl game.
Hey, that's rule number one. Don't tell the story, tell your story. Want to thank CJ Hurt for joining the program. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For Dennis, For Kevin, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show's coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.